11:06 a.m. Apologize. Session kind of went a little bit longer. The next item on our agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congresswoman Shaw?
Present.
Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congressman Keene?
Present.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Okay, thank you, Clerk. The next item on our agenda is prayer. Congresswoman Stabler, do you mind saying a prayer for us this morning?
Yes, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and to work for the Osage people. I want you to watch over us and watch over our people as we continue to go through this pandemic and as we come together this summer for our gatherings. And we're happy to be able to come together. I hope you'll watch over us and keep us safe while we do that. I also want you to give us the knowledge and the ability to make the decisions that are important for the Osage people and to touch our hearts and let us remember how important the work is that we do. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Next item on our agenda is the approval of minutes. And the minutes. Let's see. Let me look. I think they were attached, weren't they, Clerk? Okay. The minutes were from April 22nd, 2021.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, thank you. The minutes have been approved. The next item on our agenda is item number 5, an election of a vice chair to serve on the appropriations committee. Excuse me, Speaker. Was that? Is it because I said serve?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Clerk, you're going to help walk me through this. There was a little bit, or I have confusion in the, I think it was the 6th Congress. They actually chose a vice chair during the selection at the end of session, but then we didn't the last two times, so I'm kind of confused. So here we are. So I'd like to open up the committee for any nominations for the vice chair.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Congresswoman Shaw.
I nominate Congressman Walker.
I'll second that nomination, Stabler.
Okay, we have a nomination. Do we need a second, Clerk?
No, you do not need a second for a nomination.
Okay, thank you. So we have a nomination of Congressman Walker. Any other nominations? Okay. Hearing none. Excuse me.
I was just going to say, seeing none, you can declare him vice chair by acclamation.
Seeing none, then I would declare Congressman Walker the vice chair of appropriations via acclamation. Congressman Walker, are you
okay? Yes, ma'am. Thank you, committee. I will do my very best.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, and welcome to the new committee. We have some new members, and so I'm really excited to have Congresswoman Stabler and Congressman Tillman join the committee. And thank you, Congressman Walker, for not declining. I feel like I work very well with Congressman Walker, and I appreciate that you didn't decline. So the next item on our agenda is item number 6, ONCA 21-49, which is an act to amend 15 ONC 1A-112 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor of this legislation is Speaker Pratt, so I will turn the meeting over to Speaker to discuss her legislation.
Okay, thank you, Second Speaker, and Appropriations Chair. Well, as I stated, and you can see, I filed two pieces of legislation, 2149, as it is the law right now is section 1A112. Actually, hold on a second, please. I was just going to try to make sure here that as we move into this discussion, who from the executive branch is going to answer any questions we might have. Let me look at the email. Shanna?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get an email with the
executive message? I'm sending it out right now.
Okay, yeah. So, to me, the executive message doesn't answer. I guess it has a small piece of some of the planning thus far, but I guess that doesn't give us a whole lot of detail what any of the members may want. So I don't know if Assistant Chief is sitting here prepared to answer those questions or not. It's my understanding that James Wygant speaks a lot about this. He's carried a notebook around for a while. We've seen it and spoken with him on multiple occasions. And because, you know, as I stated before, like, I'm not trying to stop any planning. I'm not trying to halt anything. I'm not trying to complicate things intentionally. Could things get complicated? Sure, because, you know, there it keeps being brought up, you know, the number of times we'd have to come into session for change orders. I'm not trying to call us in to manage every change order, but we would like to hear about the projects. So anyways, to stick to specifically, so maybe we'll get a little more. The clerk has sent out the, because it's my understanding there, if you speak to Mr. Wygant, it's the conversation is somewhat limited in saying there's not planning. There's estimated a lot of money that possibly expended, but many of the projects will not, at this moment, aren't quite a go for the rescue plan dollars. So I understand they're trying to work through that. But anyways, I'll circle back to that. Okay, so 1A, 112, as it currently states, it is the Osage Nation Executive, Judicial, and Legislative Branches, in coordination with the Osage Nation Treasurer, are hereby authorized to expend non-tribal funds received by the respective branch in accordance with the agreements executed by the Principal Chief on behalf of the Osage Nation and for the benefit thereof. Non-tribal funds that require a tribal funding match shall not be accepted until the tribal funding match has been appropriated. Non-tribal revenue generated from indirect costs, recoveries, or from space cost recoveries, and their intended expenditures for a given fiscal year should be submitted to Congress with the annual budget submission on August 15th. So what it would be, the Osage Nation Executive, if you look at 2149, the Osage Nation Executive, Judicial, and Legislative Branches, in coordination with the Osage Nation Treasurer, except as otherwise stated in this act, are hereby authorized to expend non-tribal funds received by the respective branch in accordance with the agreements executed. B, non-tribal funds received as a result of federal stimulus plan shall not be expended without appropriation of the Osage Nation Congress. Now, that's what it's being called at the moment. That might not be the exact language in saying federal stimulus plan. We can work on that, but that would be B. And then C, non-tribal funds that require a tribal funding match shall not be accepted until the tribal funding match has been appropriated, et cetera, the rest of the language. So non-tribal funds received as a result of the federal stimulus plan shall not be expended without an appropriation of the Osage Nation Congress. And again, I filed the two because I don't know what this is going to look like. So this is what we're, you know, to sit here and hopefully discuss, is that what we want? Is that what we're, and what would that look like if that's the case? Because it would create a situation where would we hear of projects and do it in a lump, some certain, or what is this going to look like? And so that's basically, it's taken, that the Congress has to appropriate those non-tribal funds.
Speaker, I have a question. If you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. So under section A, I think the way that I'm reading this is that we're not amending this. Are we amending this language that's currently in 15-1A-112 that says, I feel like this section just says that the branches have the ability to not come to Congress with regards to like federal grants. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's the non-tribal funds received as a result of the federal stimulus plan. So it is regarding these dollars, and like I said, I don't know that it should be necessarily, maybe it needs to be more specific as to American Rescue Plan Act dollars, something like that. But that's the dollars that we're talking about.
Okay, thank you. I think, Trady, can you answer with regards to A, is that something we're amending that's currently in the law?
No, Madam Chair. No. The only thing that's changed in paragraph A, if you look at the way that it's in the code right now, it's all one lump paragraph, all the language. I split it out so that it would read a little bit easier, but A was already there except for the portion that says otherwise stated in this act, and then paragraph B was added to to address the federal stimulus plan funds. I just used a general term of federal stimulus plan instead of a specific term that would, you know, if Congress decided to go down this road, would have to amend it later on.
Yeah, sorry, I thought I answered the question, but maybe I didn't.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. I was just curious as to what changed in Section A, or in that area, the section.
That's why I reread them, and then I went back and said, is B, and it's specific to these funds, the fund dollars, American Rescue Plan, and I'll have to change that language in there if that's what anybody wants it to be so that no one questions.
I would agree with that. I think that under B, we may want to say, as the result of funds received from the ARPA, spell it out maybe. And then under C, was what was amended in that?
There is no change.
Okay, go ahead.
To C or D.
Say again.
Madam Chair, I think the speaker wanted to address you.
You, so you go ahead.
Madam Chair.
Because I may not be clear.
There are no changes in C and D.
Okay, so the C is just saying, the way I'm reading it, is that any time we receive a federal grant and there's a tribal match, that we won't accept that. Well, it says non-tribal funds that require tribal funding match shall not be accepted until the tribal funding match has been appropriated. How can we not accept a federal grant? Are we really saying we can't spend it?
Can I go ahead?
Go ahead, Congressman.
So B's the big change here. I think I'm following Trey. A just emphasizes this, don't mess with the grants. That federal stimulus in clause B, this is what we're allowed to appropriate that now. C is also how it already is now too. So is that right, Trey?
I'm sorry.
A and C are how it is now. B is giving us the power to appropriate the federal stimulus.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Yes, that is correct. B is the only, other than the term, as otherwise stated in paragraph A, B is the only new language for this paragraph, for this section.
I don't know if that helps.
Okay, I'm just curious about under C. I understand, I get with what we're doing here is that we're saying, as a Congress, we want to have the ability to appropriate the dollars we receive from ARPA. The gist of this legislation is. My question is under C, and Billy or Congressman Keene, you should. I don't understand how non-tribal funds that require a tribal funding match shall not be accepted until the tribal funding match has been appropriated. How can we as a Congress say that grant dollars should not be accepted?
Chairwoman.
Yes, Congressman Walker.
That particular provision in this law has been discussed, cussed, debated on multiple occasions. I'm pretty sure I was against that from the get-go and still am. That's a good question. The counterpoint, and I'll make it before, or so someone else doesn't, the counterpoint is, what if we accept a grant that requires a tribal match, and it's a 1 or 2 or 3 year grant, and then on the tail end, it requires tribal appropriations to continue administering whatever the grant was intended to do?
Yes, sir.
My argument was always, well, we can decide then we don't fund it. It's that simple. So anyway, I could go on, but yeah, that's why, that's how we got there.
Okay, thank you. Cause I was just like, that piece of this, when you say the word shall, sticks out to me, and I'm just thinking, How can Congress? That doesn't even make sense to me at all. Shall not be accepted. When a grant's been funded, I mean, what the Treasury is going to draw it down. There's an agreement and timelines and things like that. I just don't see how we can not do that. But back to the gist of the legislation, I was just thinking if this is a time that we could amend that, we may want to consider that. I'd be open to look at that language and see. So the way that I'm understanding this, like I said, is that we're looking to authorize the executive branch and other branches to expend the ARPA funds. And I guess what we need to discuss is how do we want that to look like? My thought would be that it kind of looks like the current branch budgets during CEJO, and that they would submit a plan and maybe a budget, but it's listed in cap assets, maybe an ARPA or a federal cap assets budget. That's just what I was thinking. I don't know what anybody's other recommendations or suggestions are. And then that piece would go to the Committee of Jurisdiction, because the way that the interim rule reads that there's money for infrastructure, which I could see falling under commerce, gaming, and land. And then there's other for health related issues that would probably go under the health committee. I don't know what your thoughts are. Go ahead, Congressman Keene.
Yeah, I guess I'm a bit confused because I came in expecting to see a bullet point list of expenditures executive already had. That added up to $108 million. Where's that at? Or are they not even that far along yet?
Congressman Keene, in the discussions that I've had, they are not that far along. As Kahika, discussed this morning, there's so many restrictions. It's an interim rule, so things are going to change. I think the tribes, not just Osage Nation, have the authority to comment back through tribal consultation and in a written document, because again, it's really restricted, as Speaker discussed. So I think right now it would be first step would to either agree to approve this legislation or not.
I understand that, but there are other tribes right now already putting out notices to tribal members to apply for cash assistance, similar to the earlier CARES Act funds. So obviously we want to get to that point eventually. But yeah, I guess coming in, like I said, I thought we'd already have moved further along in what the expenditures would be. So, but yeah, that's all I want to say at this time. Thank you.
Well, I think that
Madam
at
Chair,
this time, who is that?
Tis me.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Just a set case. The way I understand it is that we won't see the plans yet, but we need to vote whether or not. The question is, the speakers put legislation towards Congress to say, number one, do we want to have the authority to appropriate these funds? Then I think we'll start seeing plans come in and things of that nature. I think right now, as I understand it, they have their attorneys looking through the interim rule at this time. I don't know. I don't want to speak to stimulus checks going out to constituents, because I don't know that that's even allowable if you've read the interim rule. And maybe Speaker, we might want to send that document out to Congress so that they could read the rule if you haven't already. It's very restrictive. So go ahead, Casey.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to remind the Congress that we're taking a very deliberate approach to all this, like you just stated. So in our estimation, slow is smooth is fast. We don't have any idea if individual decks are going to be allowed. And so, yeah, some of those tribes may be putting that out there, but some of those tribes may be having to pull that back at some point. Our consultants are positive. They did an excellent job last time because we were deliberate and we went through a process that when it got down to enabled quick decision making. We had more accurate information and we were able to get things done faster in the long run because we took the deliberate approach at the beginning. So, yeah, until we're absolutely sure where we can do something, we're going to commit to anything. So, you know, again, that's why slow is actually smooth and smooth is actually fat.
Okay, thank you, Casey. Just so you know, you've got a lot of feedback, so there's a lot of feedback and echo when you speak. Any other
Chairwoman?
Comment? Oh, go ahead, Congressman Walker.
Okay, so this is just my opinion. And opinions, let me preface that. To me, we need to figure out, number one, if we have the constitutional ability to appropriate these funds. And on that point, I would say, number one, by project, I don't think we do. We're not a tribal council. We're a legislative branch. We pass laws. Number two, there needs to be something. If you believe that we have this ability, then there needs to be something in there that says only if allowable by the ARPA Act or whatever it's called, right? I mean, because we could sit around and talk and argue about this project and that project and sending direct payment checks to constituents all we want. But first of all, we need an actual legal opinion whether or not we're able to do that. And if we're not, obviously, then we've wasted a bunch of time deliberating. You know, we kind of got into this last time. You know, it was only $45 million then, right? Well, now it's triple that, which is crazy to me. And I agree. We, being the Congress, we are the voice of the people, and we have a role in, I hate to even say this, but directing or playing a role in how this money is spent. But I have thought a lot about this, and I've read the opinions that have come out of our Supreme Court. And it makes me pause, and it makes me really wonder how far we can go here. And I'm going to ramble just a little bit because we all need to think about this. If put yourself in the chief's position, if you were on that side, would you not consider saying, no, I think this is unconstitutional? And I'm going to immediately challenge this if it's passed. And I would be very interested to see how it plays out. Just me. I really would. This is a lot of money, and the thought or the idea that one man or woman has the ability to spend $100-something million, which could ultimately, years down the road, cost the nation millions of dollars, and then we're sitting there with empty buildings and whatever because of poor decisions. To me, this is just me, I'm thinking I can get behind a lot of things that are allowable. I wonder about our ability to administer a lot of these things, whether or not we have the manpower to oversee them, and the infrastructure. Speaking of infrastructure, to me, that's where we have an opportunity to create a legacy as a government, as a neighbor, and serve our people and our neighbors and our communities. Water is the most important thing on this planet. And we have the ability to serve our communities with good water infrastructure and sewer. And it all goes hand in hand. And you can't just go out, we're gonna put new lines out in the villages. It doesn't work like that, guys, gals. And you know this, a lot of you do. You got to start from the trunk line. You got to start from the beginning and work out. You can't start out and work in. It doesn't work like that. So I've thought a lot about this. We're talking so much money. This is once in a lifetime. But we cannot, to me, go project by project, and especially getting into change order stuff like that. That is absurd and ridiculous. So you just need to kind of have a little civics lesson in your head and really think about our role in this government. But the difference this time to me is there is so much money at stake that could cost the nation so much money in the future. That's what I'm struggling with. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Walker. Congressman Keene, and then Congresswoman Goodfox.
I'll keep it short. If this bill passes, it wouldn't violate the Constitution for us to allocate this money and take it out of the executive branch. My question more is on the inner mechanics. So let's say there was like 20 projects. Would we then have to file bills for 20 different bills for each project out of the whole pie of the money and attach a figure to that? How would that actually work as far as the actual bills being advanced? Maybe Trey could help me out, or how would I'm just trying to see how it would actually work in practice. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Keene. Just to comment back, I think that would be up to whoever's going to file that legislation on what it looks like. It could be one bill. It could be, I mean, it's all, to me, we have to follow the law. It's capital. It's either a property improvement or it's a capital asset, depending on what we're doing with the funds, based off of the ARPA Act. Go ahead, Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, to Congressman Walker's last couple of sentences, that's where I myself have been thinking. I have thought a lot about that as well. We're also talking about decisions that are being made now with over $100 million. Let me say that again, $100 million. We have an election coming up. in exactly 1 year, where we don't know who's going to be sitting in the seats of executive, and we don't know who's going to be sitting in the seats of six congressional members. And so many of these projects may not take, actually take effect or groundbreaking until that time. And so then what if we have, what happens if it changes? What happens if the people that are in what if there's a big change up and the whole focus changes? That's what I'm wondering about. Are the rules or plans allowed to change a year from now? What if, or do we have to move forward with them? How does that all work? And so I was on board to sign for this special session for us to come in and discuss it, because I think those are questions that we need answers to. So that's just my comment. And I don't know who has the answers to that. Possibly executive. I'm thinking maybe chief's office or the individuals that sit on the CARES. I don't know what the actual name for their little for the committee is, but Mr. Wygant. But those are the questions that I have.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Goodfox. And to comment on that, also quickly, Trey, while we're discussing, could you please address whether or not this is constitutional or unconstitutional, please? And then secondly, I think, Congresswoman Goodfox, to me, this all looks the same, just like we do with the budgets that we see during CJO. We're assuming we're going to have these programs that are going to have a plan with them as to what that looks like. So to me, if it's in law, however we decide to do this, then the law would have to be amended, or that bill, to change the direction of the plan. But that's a good point. Go ahead, Congresswoman Stabler.
I'd like to defer to counsel first, and then I'd come in after him if we could.
So it's my understanding that this legislation is filed to initiate this conversation. To give a legal opinion right here on the spot, I just don't feel comfortable doing that at all. I believe it requires some research. I believe that we need to take it very seriously. And as these guidelines change, things are going to continue to change. So I think the biggest question now is whether you want to go down that road. Does this committee want to have the ability to appropriate that money? And if so, we need to look through and make sure that we have the constitutional authority to do that. Whether we conclude that we do, I am sure I highly doubt that the executive branch will agree with us, but I understand what you're saying, but I would like plenty of time to make that determination if you guys make the decision that that's what you want to do. If you want to be able to appropriate the money, then we need to make that determination and spend the time and probably consult with the AG's office as well, because even if I come up with an opinion that says that it is legal, I am certain that the chief will want an opinion from the attorney general as well. We're talking about a large amount of money here, so a lot at stake, and it won't help if we delay it, you know, through the court process.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Stabler.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Trey. We'll take that into consideration for sure. What I wanted to say is kind of tacks on to what Congresswoman Goodfox was talking about. So far, we've heard that this money is going to be a longer term. When we went through the CARES Act, everything was fast. It was immediate. Had to be done right then. And so we just went along to help speed the process up. With this one, it is going to take a lot more years. We actually have time to take a moment and think about this and continue to look for updates on the rules. But I think the bottom line for us today is talking about, yes, this legislation and the wording that's in this legislation,
but it's also talking about our due diligence to the people to say, you know, good decisions were made. These are good projects moving forward. We've heard a lot on the sidelines about what projects are coming up for discussion, what projects are moving forward. And this list that he brought us today is a reasonable list. It doesn't have some of the things in it that we've been hearing about. So I think they're starting to narrow the scope. I do think that we need to be a part of it, that we need to be a part of the oversight of it. Not involved where it's outside our boundaries, but at least be part of the final decision making, move forward with it. And there again, to do our due diligence. So as much as I would love to sit here and talk about projects and where the money's going and how much money's going here and how much going there, I don't think that that's our discussion right now. Our discussion is about the language in this bill and us playing our role that goes along with it.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler.
Madam Chair.
And also, I'd like to, you know, my thought on this too, big picture, was that with our Constitution, I just feel like with the three-branch government, the intent of a three-branch is for checks and balances. And so that's one of the reasons I'm definitely open to hear this discussion. Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I agree with Congresswoman Goodfox and her comments regarding the timeliness of who gets to spend this. That's an important question. And I absolutely believe that as the people's representatives, we have a role in determining that. That's why the Constitution gives the legislative branch that power to appropriate those funds. But I also agree with Congressman Walker that there are some legal and constitutional questions that have to be answered. And for me, that boils down to the fact that we can't treat some federal funds differently than others. And the court has already ruled in Standing Bear versus Pratt that we can't treat tribal funds different than federal funds. The same rules have to apply. And so the result is some of the language that you see there is that if these funds are received in a manner that we already agree with, that the federal funds can be allowed to be spent by the executive branch. That's a management function within the executive branch. So in Standing Bear versus Pratt, they say that Congress is vested with the appropriation power under Article 6, Section 24. Congress adopts the legislation containing a total appropriation, which is allocated into several categories defined in law. A total appropriation, that would include even the funds that we're claiming we don't have or don't want to appropriate. We're talking about federal funds, stimulus funds, federal funds. They've already said a total appropriation. We can't say only the stimulus funds. That's all the part that we want to appropriate. Total appropriation includes both stimulus and regular operating federal dollars, in my mind. So there's no piecemealing it as far as I'm concerned. We can't just say we want these funds. These are the ARP funds, this is what we want. It's an all or nothing. Stimulus is not defined in Osage law, and they clearly say is allocated into several categories defined by Osage law. So at the very least, we have some more work to do to define what stimulus is in Osage law. And additionally, they wrote that members of Congress are officials and are prohibited by Article 10, Section 3 from hindering or obstructing, quote, the proper administration of the Osage Nation government in the administration of their duties. In other words, Congress cannot, in the discharge of their legislative obligations, by adopting a total appropriation, which is what we're required to do, adopt laws that hinder or obstruct the government's administration. The law, as it reads, gives the proper administration of those functions to the executive branch. There's no way that we can separate these and say only the stimulus funds or what we get to appropriate. And I agree, to go back to what Congresswoman Goodfox, you know, stated, the timeliness of this is not ideal. This is hard. This is gonna be tough. This isn't gonna be fun. It's gonna be a battle either way, and I agree with legislative counsel, it's gotta be settled quickly. Because simply saying that we want these funds isn't going to fly. What we've talked about is has needed to happen, and that's one of the bills that's already been put forward. So I think breaking that up and focusing on all these conversations is something that has to happen. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, Congressman Potts. Assistant Chief.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of quick comments. But I'll start with a question. And I don't expect an immediate answer because I think there may be a different answer from many different members of Congress. But I think it's important to ask, what is the goal of this session? Is it to determine whether to take control of this money from an appropriation standpoint? Is it to influence or communicate a set of priorities to the executive branch? I don't know. I think you could get four or five questions related to this that the result of this session may answer. Going back to the subject of federal funds, as many of us know, I think nearly all of us or all of us know, Congress did appropriate federal funds for a long time, and to revisit the change in that, at least in my mind, it was to deconflict the treasurer when he was faced with a conflict between Osage law and the truly voluminous amount of federal law, federal rule, and federal regulation that already accompanies all of those federal funds. Here, we're probably going to have more possibility for conflict because layered over the normal federal funds, you have all of the requirements of this ARPA money, which is more tightly focused even than some of the other federal funds. One other question is, when you go down through this, there are two categories even in these funds. There are the funds that coming directly to the nation with the broader aspect of what the ARPA Act, I'm sorry, the ARPA wants to have happen, and then the additional funds that came down through the regular channels to programs, health being an example, clinic funds, there may be road funds, there may be other kinds of funds. So those two different channels of funds have different requirements in terms of how they're spent and how they're reported. So I guess I have more questions than answers, but if I intend to use part of my lunch hour conversing with the chief on this, so if there are any specific questions that Congress would like an answer from the Office of the Chiefs, this would be a good time to ask them so I can communicate directly with Chief. We can have a conversation and give you an answer directly from the top. Thank you.
Congressman Kane.
We're just going to make a motion to recess for lunch.
So text me.
Okay, you want to make a motion to recess for lunch. What time do you want to suggest that we come back?
What's everyone think? 1? 1:30. Recess till 1:30.
Okay, I'll second.
Chairwoman.
Yes, Congressman Walker.
Well, Paula jumped in and second the 130 motion. That's what I think I heard.
Yes.
Maybe the hour and a half break is to give us time to think about this or maybe get answers or whatever. I was thinking more, we only have until 3 o'clock. Why don't we 12:30, 12:45, unless we need some time to figure things out. I don't know. I'm thinking more like 12:45 at the longest. That's 50 minutes for lunch.
Okay, part of for discussion, Chair, if I can. The discussion is, with what's going on in downtown, we have found that we cannot get lunch in an hour down here. We can't go get lunch, get back here, have lunch, and keep going that fast because of all the crews that are working around here. The restaurants are bombarded. So that's why I was saying go to a little bit longer lunch. But it's up to the group. I don't care.
Let's just go one.
Just now.
Okay.
Do I need to remake the motion?
Well, 1:30. Motion to amend the motion until one. Recess to one.
Okay. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, thank you. It's hard to hear. We are recessed until when?
Tana? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
This is Casey. I had to get on the phone because my computer is all jacked up, so you won't see me on the big board.
I don't know. That was my